Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Hello again, everyone. Last hour, we talked about the state of New York's economy a year after the collapse of Lehman Brothers and the ensuing Wall Street panic. But mostly, we talked about the banking industry in that conversation. Of course, the roots of the economic crisis started before last September 15th with failing subprime mortgages. And while the overall economy, whatever that means, may have been pulled back from the brink of Great Depression too since last year, the help President Obama promised for homeowners faced with foreclosure has been slow in coming, unlike some of the other bailouts. The Treasury Department reported last month that only 12% of homeowners eligible for loan modifications got them as of August. Previous months were even worse. Jennifer Sinton is Deputy Director of the Foreclosure Prevention Project at South Brooklyn Legal Services, and she is right in the fray with this issue. So as others take stock and we take stock also of the state of Wall Street 1 year after September 15, 2008, let's also take stock of your street. Jennifer, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
So there's something called HAMP, the Treasury's Home Affordable Modification Program, began in February, but it has only helped a sliver, I understand, of the homeowners facing foreclosure. What is the program and what is it supposed to do?
Well, the program applies to any loan servicer who has signed a contract with the federal government agreeing to participate in the program. It also applies to some recipients of TARP funding. Under the program, for homeowners in foreclosure or at imminent risk of default, the loan servicer who has agreed to participate in the program must consider whether the homeowner is eligible for a loan modification under the program.
And
if the homeowner is eligible, and there are some basic eligibility requirements such as they must reside in the home where the mortgage loan is pending, and it must be a 1-to-4 family residence. If they meet some basic eligibility requirements, the loan servicer has to run the loan and the financial information of the borrower through a computer program, which is called a net present value test. This test basically assesses whether it's financially more beneficial for the lender to foreclose or to modify the loan. If the homeowner passes this test, then the servicer has no choice but to modify the loan. What then happens is that there's what people call a waterfall process, waterfall test. Basically, if the homeowner qualifies for a modification, the servicer has to lower the monthly mortgage payment to no more than 31% of the household's gross income. And basically, the servicer has to do whatever it takes to get the mortgage payment down to that amount. The first thing the servicer has to do is reduce the interest rate to as low as 2%. If that doesn't suffice to bring the mortgage payment low enough, the servicer then has to extend the mortgage term from 30 to 40 years, and if that still doesn't do it, then they have to consider some of the principal onto the back of the loan as a balloon payment that comes due at the end of the 40-year term.
Wow, 40 years—that is really pushing the debt way down the road. And is it working? Are a lot of people doing this? I mean, the premise of this segment is, I think, that this is not actually serving many of the people that it's supposed to serve. Is it, in your experience?
The short answer is no. The federal government's program has been up and running since the spring, but many homeowners eligible for relief under the program are not getting loan modifications. Also, many homeowners who have submitted applications under HAMP are seeing their applications denied for improper reasons. And the program simply isn't providing the relief it should to eligible homeowners.
Let's also bring in another guest. Judy Breskowitz is a loan counselor with New Jersey Citizen Action. So we have both sides of the river represented now. Judy, welcome to WNYC. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
And the stats that I have are that there have been 42,000 foreclosures in New Jersey just since January. What are you seeing? Are your clients getting the kind of loan modifications that Jennifer was just laying out? And if not, why not?
For basically the same reasons. Unknown reasons, reasons that clients are being rejected and we're not really sure why. A lot of clients do not qualify for the HAMP program. The ones that do, though, they've been going through lengthy processes, and they're not. It's just not happening. A lot of times, my clients, the ones that I'm seeing, are a product of the economy right now. They've lost their jobs. The income isn't there. They're living off of unemployment, and so that makes a big difference in the lender's decision to modify these loans.
So, listeners, we had people who worked on Wall Street on September 15th, 2008, call in last hour. How about you? If you have been in any kind of foreclosure or potential foreclosure situation, are you trying to negotiate with your bank to avoid foreclosure right now? If you need advice, either of our two guests from Brooklyn and New Jersey could give you some. What has been your experience with a loan modification if you've actually gotten one? Has this worked for you? Call us at 212-433-WNYC. Have you been foreclosed upon and had to leave your previous home, and do you feel that that was right or wrong in your case? 212-433-9692, or post a comment to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We want to know how this is playing out for you and your neighbors in Bed-Stuy and Rockaway and Williamsbridge and Jersey City and Atlantic City and anywhere else that you are. 212-433-WNYC with your foreclosure stories and foreclosure questions. For Jennifer Sinton, Deputy Director of the Foreclosure Prevention Project at South Brooklyn Legal Services. Oh, and by the way, our lines are full. 212-433-9692. So that's an indication of something that took about 3.5 seconds. Our other guest, Judy Breskowitz, loan counselor with New Jersey Citizen Action. You can also post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Judy, in testimony before the Senate Finance Committee last week, some fair lending advocates argued that loan servicers are not cooperating with the HAMP federal program. Do you see this? Do you see them trying to avoid this? Would they rather have the foreclosure? Because we were hearing a few months ago that the Obama administration was optimistic that a lot of banks or whoever the loan servicers are would go along with the program because they don't want a bad home on their hands or a home that's, you know, that's worth less than it might have been a year or two ago and that they have to foreclose upon. They'd rather get their payments. So what's the loan servicer's role in this?
Well, I don't think that they want the houses. It's just that it's taking it's a lengthy process. This morning, I was in court with a client for a mediation. That, you know, this is the fourth time that I've gone back into court with them, and it was adjourned again. And so, what I think is that they're inundated with these cases. I personally do not feel that they want the property. However, you know, as time goes on, the fees and the penalties are accruing, and I just don't think that the investors on some of these loans want to give in. And but I don't think they want to foreclose, because as many as the cases that we receive weekly, we're not actually, a lot of homes are in the process of foreclosure. However, how many have foreclosed, actually been taken away, have in my own caseload, mm-hmm. has not been that many.
Jennifer from South Brooklyn Legal Services. Judy said a really interesting thing there, which was that some of the investors on these loans don't want to cave in and accept lower terms, which goes to the whole question of mortgage securitization, right? That in order to get agreement on modifying a loan these days, it isn't just your local neighborhood bank that originally gave the mortgage, but it's some dispersed collection of investors who have invested in the loan as part of some kind of package security. Is that correct? Is that an obstacle?
Well, you know, there are actually many servicers who have the right and the ability to modify loans without the consent of the investor. Mm-hmm. And you really need to determine that by looking at something called the pooling and servicing agreement, which is basically the agreement between the loan servicer and the investor as to their respective roles in the process. I think that it's very hard to know why these loans are not being modified in the way that they should. And I think that, you know, you'll have to ask the loan servicers, the banks, and the government agencies that are charged with overseeing this program what's really going on.
We have so many calls. Let's take some people's stories and questions. Catherine in Broad Channel, you're on WNYC. Catherine, thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. What happened was, for some reason, and I'm really not sure what happened, we paid our mortgage last month, and then on this month's statement, it says we have a suspense fund account balance, and it's what looks like our payment from last month's mortgage. A few months earlier, we underpaid by $7 and $6 a mortgage, just out of confusion or just not paying attention. But when my husband called up our mortgage holder, they told us not to pay September so that we could qualify for a loan modification. And I don't know if I really trust that whoever my husband spoke with at the bank was really giving him sound advice, and I really just don't know what to do. But we really could benefit from a loan modification. The house is worth far less than the loan right now that are out, the two loans that are out on the house.
Jennifer, any advice for Catherine from Broad Channel?
Well, I think as a general matter, it's always a good idea to pay your mortgage whenever possible. And under the HAMP program, as long as you can show that you are at imminent risk of default, then you can still qualify for a loan modification under the program. And showing that you're at imminent risk of default, for instance, can be done by showing that your expenses and your loan payments, your monthly, you know, payment right now is unaffordable to you. So I guess, you know, the other thing, you know, regarding the suspense account issue, a lot of servicers will do this if they believe that they haven't received everything that they should under, you know, in terms of your mortgage payments. They will hold a payment in suspense and basically not apply your payments to the outstanding amount due. That causes all kinds of problems for homeowners. It can create a lot of confusion. And one of the reasons that the servicer does it, in my opinion, is that the servicer gets to collect interest on any funds that are held in a suspense account. Hmm. So I think that...
So what's the next step?
I think the next, I mean, it's very hard. I can't really dispense legal advice, yeah. Without knowing the full situation. But I really do think that it's a better idea in a general, you know, in general terms to pay the mortgage and seek a loan modification on the basis that you're at imminent risk of default.
Catherine, good luck. George in Morris County, you're on WNYC. Wait a minute. Let me just get. Hang on. I'm having a little trouble putting line 9 up. Could you do that for me? George in Morris County, we've got you now. Hi, George. You're on WNYC.
Good morning. Well, I am not in foreclosure, but I'm right at the edge. And I did try to apply for the government program. They told me I didn't qualify because of my credit score. And I was under the impression that the program was for everybody. Instead, they offered me a regular refi, which actually increased my monthly payment.
A refinancing that increased your monthly payment?
Yes. Well, they said I had to have mortgage insurance and, you know, a bunch of things they added just made it increase. But once I did the good faith agreement and the the home appraisal, they never followed through. It's been like 4 months.
Wow.
I paid for the appraisal and nothing has happened yet.
Wow. And with the refinancing, you get new closing costs as an extra bonus. Did you get saddled with that?
Haven't gotten that far yet. The good faith agreement made it just sound like the, I'm not a realtor. It's written in a way that discourages reading every page.
Right. Discourages reading every page. That's a great thing, too. Judy from New Jersey Citizen Action, have you heard of this kind of situation before?
Sure.
Where instead of a loan modification, they try to get you to go for a refinancing that actually increases your monthly payments?
Sure. Refinancing is probably the first thing that they try to do because it's a benefit to the lender. As you mentioned, there's closing costs that the lender has. The lender collects with the refinance. Also, a repayment plan is another option, which usually does not work for the client because it's an added. It actually increases the monthly payment because they add the arrearage. The problem with this person's loan probably is when they did the appraisal on the property, his mortgage is he probably does not have the 20% equity in the property to even do the refinancing, which is probably he's probably better working with trying to making homes affordable program or a modification. It's the only thing that actually does work for the client.
George, good luck out there. And Mary in Bergen County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary. Mary in Bergen, are you there? All right, let's try Hillary in Nyack. Hillary, you're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay, thank you.
I want to start by saying I'm very grateful I actually got accepted into the trial period of the HAMP program. And they lowered our mortgage quite a bit. And so that's been very helpful, although it's a very strange place to be. You don't really receive any information about what you're signing up for. And when you call to get assistance, you know, I'm oftentimes made to feel guilty for being concerned about my credit, and I'm told things like, well, you have a choice between your credit or your house. What do you want?
Mm.
Sort of a strange in-between place, and I'm not sure what I'm waiting for. I'm not sure what I'm signing up for, although I'm so grateful to be in my home.
Jennifer Sinton, can you help Hillary sort this out?
Well, I would suggest that anyone who gets into a trial period plan, which is a 3-month trial period in the HAMP program, make every effort possible to pay those payments in a timely manner. If there is any sort of default within the trial period, you lose the opportunity to modify a loan under the HAMP program. So that is absolutely essential. What you should look for is at the end of the 3 months, the servicer should be sending you a permanent loan modification agreement, and that loan modification should basically reflect a monthly payment of principal, interest, taxes, and insurance that's no more than 31% of your gross household income.
Hillary, good luck. Unfortunately, we're out of time because we have so many callers. I mean, this is really indicative of, I think, the split right now between what we're seeing in the so-called mainstream economic indicators like the Dow and the return of the bonuses on Wall Street and et cetera, and what's really going on with so many people in our listening area and around the country. I mean, we could just go on and on. And so we will come back and do as we've done before, as we just did now, and as we will do again with advice segments for people in various kinds of economic hardship situations. I want to thank Jennifer Sinton, Deputy Director for Foreclosure Prevention at South Brooklyn Legal Services, and Judy Bruskowitz, a certified housing consultant or counselor with New Jersey Citizen Action. And before you both go, I just want to know if you think there needs to be anything more done by the Obama administration, because we hear how limited the HAMP program is in its effectiveness. And every time we look at foreclosure numbers, they are staggering. Here are some new ones. The Center for Responsible Lending anticipates 6 million foreclosures in the next 3 years. That's 1 in 10 households are currently late with a mortgage payment. still 1 in 10, even after all the foreclosures that have taken place. So, Judy Breskowitz, is something else needed in terms of policy to help people facing foreclosure?
Well, I do feel that there should be some legislation that would probably, I hate to use the word force, but make the lender cooperate with the counselors, with the lawyers that are representing the clients to come up with a resolution. Some of the clients that I do see, their cases could have been resolved months ago. However, the lender is not forced to do anything, and it's to their discretion, and we're at the mercy of if they want to.
And Congress balked at passing a bill that would allow judges to require modifications. Jennifer Sinton, last word.
Yep, I think we definitely need the bankruptcy reform. I also think we need the government agencies that are charged with overseeing HAMP to hold the servicers accountable to their agreements that they've entered into. And I just wanted to also say that anyone in foreclosure should absolutely seek legal assistance immediately and make sure to go to court and deal with the foreclosure. In New York City, you can call 311 for a referral. And outside New York City, you can go to dhcr.state.newyork.us for a list of foreclosure prevention counselors by county.
Thank you both very much for coming on with us.
Thanks, Brian.
And coming up in a minute, we'll look at why a judge did throw out a Bank of America settlement with the Securities and Exchange Commission yesterday as kind of a September 15th anniversary gift, maybe. The judge says the SEC was trying to create a facade of enforcement. We'll get details.